gift. Well, today we have a missionary story. I'm going to begin telling a missionary story every week from now until eternity. Maybe to the end of the summer. Okay, so we're going to have a, you know, I don't know, I can make that kind of a promise. Because, let's begin with the story. The story that I'm going to tell you about is a story of a woman that we shared with the children in the CEF club this past Thursday, and her name is Gladys Aylward, and she's from England. I think you can probably see it's big enough. You can see her in the middle here. She's actually here too. She was a maid. She grew up in England, and at the age of 14, she left school. This is in the early 1900s. And then she began working as a maid. And she became a Christian when she was 18 years old. It was like right when she was, you know, the age that kids here in the United States graduate from high school. So she was like a high school senior when she became a Christian. And someone gave her an article one day, and it was about China. And it was all talking about how many billions of people live in China, and how they need people to go and to tell them about the Lord Jesus. And so she took that to heart, and she began to tell other people. People are needed in China. We've got, you know, to send people over to China to tell people there about the Lord Jesus. And she did that for a year, kept telling people that she knew, got to go to China, got to go and spread the gospel in China. And after a year, she was in her kitchen, and her brother came into the kitchen, and she said, "I've been having such a hard time telling people, you know, convincing anybody to go to China and to tell them about the Lord Jesus." And so her brother said, "Why don't you go?" And she stopped, and she looked at him, and she started thinking about it, and she took it to heart, and she started praying about it. And in her mind, when she was thinking about going and answering that call, "I'll wait, guys, okay?" So the thing is, we have this story about this person who is feeling called to go, but then she's thinking to herself, "I don't speak Chinese. It's far, far away from where I live. I don't have the money to go there. You know, I don't have anything that I need to go there." And the Lord just kept on putting it on her heart until finally she decided, "I'm going to go." And so she wrote this woman who was in China. Someone gave her a name of a missionary who was already there. And this woman was in her 70s. She had been serving in China. And she wrote a letter to her and she said, "Do you think I could join you in your work there?" And the woman said, she wrote back and she said, "I've been praying for someone to come." And so she said, "Yeah, I could use your help." Right? And so she prayed, and she put together all the money that she could gather, and she got help from other people, and she took off to go to China. And that was from Britain. So she had to get on a boat to go over to Europe, and then from Europe she got on a train. And in those days it was not a fast train like, you know, some of the speedy trains that we have today. And they weren't equipped with a diner car. She had to bring all the food with her that she could eat. And she had to just go. And so she just took off. Can you imagine? She was like this young woman, and she goes off to China by herself. And when she got to Russia, the train broke down, and all the people had to get off of the train. And she walked through these woods with wolves and all these wild animals there that could have killed her. And somehow she reached this village, and the people in the village were not happy she was there. They were threatened by her being there, and so they put her under, like, police watch. But there was a woman there who found out about her and was able to get her out of that situation, and she continued on her way until she got to China. And when she got to China, the woman who was there greeted her and said, "Thank God you're here. I have a plan to tell you about." And that is the first part of the story. We'll find out what happens in her next, in the next part of the story next week as we continue to learn about this missionary, Gladys Aylward. And so the message here is God doesn't need you to speak Chinese to go to China. You don't have to have the language skills. You can learn them there. You don't have to be someone who has money to go somewhere. He'll provide for you, right? You don't have to have education or be extremely smart or have all kinds of different things. What you have to do is obey the call of God. That's all he asks, just to go and not to let all those other things come in to your mind. And so, children and adults here today, let us listen to this story and take it to heart. What is God saying to us today? Where is he calling us to go? What are we putting in the way of his calling us to go there? And let us obey his voice, okay? So let us pray for the children and for God to bless our hearts about this message to go and to share the gospel. And then we'll pray for the reading of God's word. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for children. We thank you, Lord, that you blessed this woman, Gladys Aylward, in Britain, and that she became a Christian at age 18, and that you called her to go to China, that you brought this to her attention. We know, Lord, that there are many of us here who may be hearing the call, but we may also be afraid that we're not equipped or we don't have enough money or we're lacking skills. But Lord, you call us to go where you want us to go so that people will know about Jesus. It may be our next door neighbor. It may be in the next town. It may be in our school. It may be in our work. It may be anywhere. But Lord, you are the one that call us and show us the need. So help us, like we learned last week from Reverend Gordon Law, to have a heart that aches and yearns and longs to see people come to know the Lord Jesus before it's too late. We just pray, Father, that you'll bless this word to our heart through the Holy Spirit that we have welcomed here. Help us, Lord, to follow the voice of God. And now, Lord, we pray that you'll bless the children as they go and learn your word. We pray, Father, for their teachers and for their parents. We pray, Father, that you'll bless them. We pray, Father, also for the word that is going to be read now, that you would illuminate our hearts and our minds and our souls, Lord, so that we would hear your voice in your word speaking to us about the things that you desire for us to know. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, brother and sister. Today's scripture reading, you can find it in Psalm 37. Here's the word of the Lord. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herbs. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. 11. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in the abundant peace. 23. The steps of a man are established by the law. This is the word of the law. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Chris. I asked Chris to read a few more verses from Psalm 37, so I asked everybody to begin bringing their Bibles and opening up their Bibles, so I want to encourage you to open your Bible, not look at me, but to look at the Word of God while I'm talking to you and follow along so that you can see the words written before you. There's Bibles in the pews if you need one. Please open to Psalm 37, and we'll see what the Lord has for us to hear from his Word today. Today we're coming to church as a mourning church. We are mourning the passing of Toby Lai. He's a brother in Christ who is the husband of Minister Can. For those of you who don't know, she served in our church as minister to the Chinese congregation. And Toby passed away early Saturday morning. And so we just want to remember Toby and also Minister Can, Lori, Emily, Jeremy, And also Toby's parents, please pray for his father to know the Lord. That was Toby's one and greatest desire of his heart, that his father would know God. He actually led his mother to the Lord before he passed away, and he desires to see his father also in heaven with him. So let us remember. And so why don't we take a moment and just have a silent prayer and pray for their family, and also remember Brother Toby. Amen. So we'll turn back to the psalm today. We have a very, very encouraging word today for us from God's word. We originally had planned on reading just verse 4. It says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." And the sermon title is, "Your Heart's Desire." How would you answer the question today, what your heart's desire is? What is your heart's desire? I think this may be one of the most important sermons I've ever given. I don't deserve it. You know, I mean, I'm only here to share with you what God has told me to say and to share with you. But I feel, you know, as God's family and knowing each other as long as we have, I've tried my best to open my heart up and share my life with you, my failures, my struggles, and also the things that I love. And I believe that many of you have also shared with me and with others your lives. And it's so important that we do that, that life is not just made up of listening to someone give a sermon and then leaving without taking it to heart, you know. But there are some messages, I believe, that are more, not maybe more important, but they are, in God's timing, crucial for us, and he wants us to pay special attention to. And so I'm not sure what I'm going to say today. In some parts, I'll follow what the Holy Spirit tells me to share with you. But mainly, I want you to hear what God is saying in his word. We're on safe ground when we do that. And so the reason that I asked Chris to read more verses in this psalm is because it gives us actually more of a context for that one verse, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." The first verse says, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Don't be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb." And then David gives at least three things, but there's three in these first five verses. Trust in the Lord and do good. Delight yourself in the Lord and commit your way to the Lord. So the reason that this first part of the psalm helps us to understand this is that it gives us the scenario, it gives us this perspective of understanding delight and to understand what that means, right? If I were to ask you what delight means, you could say, well, it was delightful to meet you. You know, it was a delight to have the opportunity to share this time with you. We saw Taylor Swift, and she delighted the crowd with her greatest hits, right? The kids may not say delighted, but, you know, our age group would say that was, you know, she delighted the crowd. It was a delightful day. We had a great time of fellowship, things like that, you know. Last night was youth fellowship. It was delightful to see so many kids come out and to hear a message and to have so much fun and the parents coming out. It was a delightful time, right? We think of it in that kind of a way, and you may not think too much more about it than that. But that word delightful is underused. It's one that's very crucial to our faith and in our lives, and so we want to make sure that we are used to using it in our lives and knowing what it means. But God gives us a perspective in His Word to understand it in a deeper way. So the first one was said, don't worry about other people. Don't worry about the wrong in the world. I can't tell you how many times I will give someone a verse that talks about God's goodness and they'll say, yeah, but how come there's so much wrong in the world then? That's not delighting in the Lord, right? That's losing the focus of what the whole scripture is about. And we can spend time and talk about that, and we need to spend time talking to people to answer their questions like that, right? But they're missing the point, right? They're focusing in on what's wrong instead of what's right. And that describes the human race. Focus on what's wrong. Fret about all the evildoers. What is going to happen here? And God's people say, delight yourself in the Lord. Commit yourself to His way. Follow Him, right? Commit your way to Him. Delight yourself. Trust in the Lord. That is the perspective that we gain. And so this beginning here, when the writer of this Psalm, David, says, fret not yourself because of these people, but do this, then it gives us that perspective understanding what delight means. Don't fret. I can't tell you how many times, right, we fall into this whole thing about worrying about what other people are saying and what other people are telling us to do, right? It's on all different levels, right? Right? You're brought up by an upstanding family. You're sent to school, and then you go and you meet other kids there in that kind of a scenario, and you see them doing all these different things that don't sync up with what your family does. But because they are your friends and because you're in with that age group, you think suddenly that they're right and your family's wrong. They must know what's right because look at what they're doing, and they're my age, and where I'm in with this kind of a group, and there's a lot of peer pressure, right? But it doesn't just stop at the age of a kid. It goes all through life to see what other people are doing. And so we're fretting about what other people are doing. It's consuming us, you know? And this is really where God was going with this, I think, and when He was speaking to me about it, was, you know, you're listening to all these other people's voices. Listen to mine. You're listening to other people. You're following along, you know? I mean, look at the way it's set up in society. I'm not putting down school, okay? I'm not putting down education. Great thing. But it's only one part of life. It's only one part of life. Being educated and being guided. And more the educational systems are being affected by people who are evil. And they're bringing in things into our schools that are evil. And they're deceiving children. And they're causing problems because they want to push their ideas in there. And we just let it go. We just accept it. It's from the government. It's from the school. It's from these kind of a things. We listen to those voices. And so we just react and we go along, but that's not the way that God is teaching us, right? We are to listen to God's voice, right? It's the same thing for your extended life, for your family life, for making friends in all these different ways. You go out and you're doing these things. I've got a job now. I've got to pay attention to that job. They told me this is what I'm going to do, right? And so we put ourselves fully into those jobs, and we are obeying our boss, and we're going along with those things, and we're in a team or whatever it is that we're doing. You know, we're working, and it's good to have that kind of a thing, but it's not everything. And so what God is saying to me today about my own life, and I'm sharing with you for us all to learn together, is to stop and to take a look at what is in our heart. And I truly believe that sometimes we just go along and accept what someone else is desiring for us instead of looking into our own hearts prayerfully before God and asking Him to show it to us. What is it that You have created me for? And a lot of people get to the end of their lives because they haven't done that. You know, I mean, sadly, at the end of their lives, they feel unfulfilled because they haven't done that. And I really feel that God is saying to us today, now is the time for you to do that. Right? Don't fret about all these evildoers and all the things that are going on in the world and all these people that are telling me what I should do and, oh, you know, and my friends are telling me what I should think and what I should say and I have to be doing this with them and I, you know, all these different directions in Salai. What do you think? If you're working in a team of people, right, and you're just going to go along with what everybody else says, is that a good situation to be in? No, you want to be able to contribute. You want to be able to contribute your ideas, right? You want to be able to show what you can do. I was the kind of a person who was really, really bad at doing that. I was so insecure with my own self and my own abilities that I just went along and I figured, okay, well, everybody else knows better than I do, and so I'm just going to let them do it. They're smart. You know, I remember in high school being on a team and a project, and these other kids were there, and they were all A students, and I was like a CD student, you know, and I was intimidated by them. But you know what? I knew I had something going on in my mind. I knew that I had something to give, but I was very confused on how I was going to bring that out. And I'm convinced right now that the way to do that, to be able to understand who you are, is through God. Because he has created us. Psalm 139 says, God, you have made me. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Astounded, looking at God and saying, wow, my life has meaning and because of you. Right? Not based on what my friends are telling me, whether I go along with them, whether I wear the same clothes, or whether I like the same teams, or if I'm going to go and spend time with them and disobey my parents. No. I look at myself and I think, what is right? What is right? What do I need to be? What am I good at? How can I contribute? How can I do these things? And I really think, guys, that this is what we have to do in our church. We come together and we offer our lives to God and we follow his will together and we say, this is what we are. This is who we are. This is what life is about. And then it extends into our lives outside of church. But it's so important, this is what we're coming back to today, is that what is your heart's desire? Who are you? What are you about? What is God saying to you? It's exciting. Don't fret about other people, that what's going on, like all these other voices and everything like that. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord. Right. So if somebody comes up to me and they say something to me and they're a person that has a reputation for not being, you know, the mindset of a person who believes in God like I do, and I am seeing this person, I'm spending time with this person, I have to maintain who I am and not succumb, not give in to become like they are, or to think like, okay, well, you know, if they're going to like me, they probably just will like me if I agree with what they do and we'll be okay. No, you maintain who you are. You maintain, yes, I believe there is a God. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and that I'm a sinner and I'm forgiven of my sins and he has given me this life to use it for his glory. And that is what life is about. Now let's see where he takes me. Let's see where I go. Right? Some of us are too cocky, right? We get a little bit too confident in what we think that we're able to do. And that's also not a good attitude. But God can take that and he can change it and he can use you in a way that is going to be committed to his way. And learning from him and delighting ourselves in the Lord. So there's a few verses that we see in this psalm that also help to be able to understand the mindset that God is teaching here. In verse 11, it says, "But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace." Did you know that this is a psalm that Jesus quotes in the Beatitudes? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Right? And so there's great wisdom here. This is pointing to something that our Lord Jesus taught to people about how to live and the attitude to have. Blessed are the meek. The meek shall inherit the land. And what? delight themselves in abundant peace, not in material wealth, not in the things that most of the people in this world are after, but abundant peace. And who is the one who inherits that? The meek. The meek are not weak. The meek are very strong because they are humble servants of God who believe that He is the way to life. Right? And so there's a lot of talk about peace today, but the way to find it is in Jesus. And He is the one that is teaching us today. The meek shall inherit the land. Right? Don't fret. Don't fret about all these other people that aren't meek, because they are very loud and they make themselves very evident, and they can be very intimidating, and their voices, the way they look really, really good, and they're really loud and they are very forceful, and boy, people seem to listen to them. You bear your time and you remain in the Lord and you listen to Him and trust in Him. And I'm talking to you as a person who has experienced this throughout my life. Turn to the Lord and ask Him what you should do. There's another verse here, 23. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in His way. Your steps are established by the Lord when you delight in His way. Right? So His way is the way that we should be living and desiring to walk and to live our lives. That is how we understand delight. It's in His ways. We sang about that today. Fret not other ways. Fret not. Don't get caught up in that. Don't listen to those voices, okay? You can hear them. They're very loud and clear, but don't be intimidated. Commit your way to the Lord. And delight in His way. His ways are good and righteous and gentle and kind. And all the things that we read in God's Word to describe Him, right? There's one more verse. It's 34, wait for the Lord and keep His way, and He will exalt you to inherit the land. You look on when the wicked are cut off. Think about a moment in your life when you've been intimidated by someone and kind of drawn away from what you believe in and the things that you think are important into something that was of another kind, that was unrighteous or something that was wrong, right? Taken away from who you are and who God has made you to be into someone else and their desire for what they want you to be. Right? But we have to listen to God's voice. We have to listen to what He's saying to us. Delight yourself in His way, right? In His way. Fret not, delight in the Lord, right? I'm pretty confident that you guys have had those kind of situations in your life, because I think it's common to us. We live in this life and there's much that we share in common, many good things, but there's also many things that we struggle with. The church is here to help one another through those times of struggle. Right? We have to help each other. We have to help guide each other through the Lord, right? There's nothing more important than that. Man, I just can't tell you. I've been the recipient of it all through my life. People caring, taking time to look at the way I was and thinking, you're going down the wrong road. And I'm like, how dare you say that to me? He's right. And then you're like, wow, I really do have to change that. And then you're like, this is delightful. The other way was not delightful. It was wrong. It was sinful. It was going against God. It was living for all these other voices that are telling me what to do and I should do. And actually, they don't really even care about me. They don't like force me into it, but I think that they're forcing me into it because I have it all built up in my mind that these people are telling me these things just to get me to do stuff wrong. And it's not them, it's me. Nobody has any power over us. Only God should have power over us. He is all powerful. And so we have to stand firm in Him and say, I'm not going to listen to those people anymore. I'm not going to hang out with those people anymore. You know, I will spend time with them, but they have to understand who I am. And who I am is a child of God. And He has made me wonderfully and beautifully to be a pleasure to Him in my life. And that's what I want to do. I want to bring glory to Him. I want to live my life for what I was purposed for because I know it's going to be so great and powerful because God is great and powerful. That's what I want. I want more. Steve Winfield had a song, Higher Love. He was close, but he wasn't there. He was talking about a higher love that we could gain ourselves. We could create ourselves, and we have to live on a higher level of love. It's true. It's great, but he was deifying love. It's only it's not our God that he was deifying it with. It was a humanist kind of a love, and let's do better in life. I have nothing against doing better or being, you know, of the mindset that we want to really make a positive influence in the world. But I believe that I'm a sinner, and the only way that I can do that is being meek and following the Lord and doing what He says, and let Him do the rest. Let His power be at work through me. Right? So it's a humbling thing. Wait for the Lord. Don't jump when somebody tells you, you got to do this, you got to buy this sneaker, you got to do this, you have to watch this show. Oh, did you watch this series? Did you do this? Did you do that? You're going to go on this trip. You're going to go over here. You're going to do all these different things. Wait on the Lord. That means not just wait, like in waiting. It means pray. Spend time with God. Talk to Him about your life. What is it that's most on your heart? And that is the part I want to get to now, just to focus on this other part. He will give you the desires of your heart. And I've read many different things and heard different versions of this. And I believe that the people that I have heard them from are all really, really knowledgeable people. And I probably don't compare to their amount of knowledge and wisdom on this subject. But they didn't satisfy me. Because I think God wants me to think about it. You follow me? I could read all these commentaries and I could read all these wonderful things and I can quote you all these different people and what they say that this means. But I have to tell you that God wants us to look in our hearts, pray to Him and ask Him what it means from Him. And He will reveal Himself to you. And it may not even be something I tell you. It may just be something that He's telling me from me. But there's other times that you want to just share with other people and say, this is what God has been saying to me, and I want you to know about it, because I love you, and you're my brother, my sister, and I want you to know what He's doing in my life. And maybe this can help you. And so, without further ado, let me just tell you a little bit, in whatever broken way I can, through the power of the Holy Spirit alone, what I feel that God is saying. He will give you the desires of your heart means that He has something special just for you. That you, when you are apart from Him, cannot know. But when you are in Him and He is in you, He reveals these things to you so that you will know what your purpose is in life. That you know what you're here for. Now let me tell you an example of this, okay, what it wasn't, and this hopefully will help. You all know that I can sing, right? I'm a singer. I was an opera singer. I sang from the time I was in choir. I found in a shoebox the other day, I found a picture of myself standing on the top riser with a tie on and a white short sleeve shirt singing in a church choir, my children's choir, and this beautiful woman who was had her back to us was conducting us, and couldn't see her head, and now she's 99 years old, living in South Jersey. And there I was standing there, and I always remember her telling me, you know, maybe you could take some voice lessons. And I was really at a time in my life where I didn't know where to go. I went to Nyack College for 1 year. I felt like that wasn't right for me. I went back home. I went to Montclair State College for a year. I didn't feel that was right for me. And so then I started to sing, and I sang some songs in church, and this lady, Audrey Turner, said, you know, maybe you could take some lessons with my teacher. So I did. And then one thing led to another, and I was going to Manhattan School of Music, and I got this degree there, and I met my wife there, and there were all these wonderful, beautiful things that are going on there. But I can tell you right now that my life is not about singing. My life is about Jesus Christ. Singing was a gift that God gave to me. It led to so many things that were so great. But I have to tell you, if you were to ask me, is that your passion for life? I would have to tell you quite honestly, no. It's not my passion for life. It's something that God gave me. And so I believe I should use it. And I do use it. And I love using it for that purpose. But to make my life revolve around that, no. And God taught me that when I went to Germany and I started reading the Bible and I opened it up and I realized that that is what he has for me. It's not going to be fulfilled in a thing or a gift. It's fulfilled in the loving Heavenly Father's purpose for you. And it may be that you don't have this like audience or things like that. It's about you and God together, and that is where it has to be. It's between you and him. If he uses that with that's inside of you for other people, that's cool. But he has a specific thing in mind for you. Between you and him. That's it. Right there. No further. Not like an audience or other kind of ways to spread it around and stuff like that. No, it's the relationship that he has of love for you that is important to him. And for you to understand how great his love is for you. That's what it is. I went to work when I came back from the States. We were here and we were taking care of my parents. We moved to New Jersey. We had been away from here for 9 years. And when we came back, I got a job in IT. I was like a fish out of water. I really didn't know what I was doing. And I was thinking, God, help me. I never sweat like I sweat there. But he helped me to provide for our family. You know, he provided that job for me. But one time, I made this crucial mistake, and I hope this will help somebody here. When I went to South Jersey I wasn't happy in my position at AT&T and IBM anymore. And God was leading me, okay? But I got this job because one of my friends became a manager at Comcast down in South Jersey. And when I went in there, I was interviewed not only by him, but by other people who worked there. And one guy came up to me and he said, "Is this your passion?" And I looked at him and I thought, if I don't say yes, I'm not getting this job, so I lied. Don't do that. Don't do that. Why? Because God provides for missionaries, right? Because God provides the things that you can't do. If you're honest about life and you're honest before God and you tell people, but you're going to be making a huge mistake if you lie to yourself and you say, I'm going to do this because I want the job. And so that whole time there was a struggle for me. Why? Because it wasn't the right job for me. I was with other people whose passion was IT work. They were so good at it, but they knew I didn't have it. You have to be honest in life. You have to be honest with yourself, but most of all, you have to be honest with God. And you have to say, Lord, use me in the way you want me to work. Use me in the place you want me to be. And I'm going to trust that even though I may not have any money. And I may not have anything at all, but I have you. That is delight in knowing that you have a God who is looking out for you and loves you when nobody else will, and he cares for you, and he's going to provide for you, and all you have to do is say, I'm yours, take me where you want me to go, and I want to be what you want me to be. I want you to teach me what passion is. And that was my crucial mistake. I did not get on my knees and ask God. I told the guy, yes, I'm passionate about this, I got the job, and from then on, it didn't go well. But most of all, because I was lying to myself. Don't do that. Know God first. Go to God first. Ask him, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? It's the most basic thing that you could ever ask anybody at any time. And you know what? He's going to tell you. He's going to tell you. It may take time. It may take sweat. It may take trust building. It may take excruciating waiting upon the Lord. We don't know, but he's going to come through. You just have to be patient and trust him. That's what it just said here, right? Wait for the Lord and keep his way. There's going to be a lot of popular people you meet in the world. There's going to be a lot of different people that you meet, and you're going to feel like, oh, wow, maybe I could just kind of do this. But don't do that. Your life is worth much more than that. Be patient. Wait upon the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. Amen? He will act. He will act in our church. He will act at your home, in your school, in your life. Friends, everything, he will act, but it starts with commitment of your way to him, people. Right? That's my graduation speech today. But it's true, right? Isn't it? I mean, we all go through these things, but it's so simple when we look at it and what God wants for us to do. And so I just want to ask you all, don't ask me what it means to delight in the Lord. Ask him yourself. And he will teach you, and he will show you, and you will know what delight in the Lord means. And it will be uplifting, and it will be a new horizon, it will be endless, everlasting love, all the things that God is, and it will be beautiful. Easy? No, but beautiful. So trust in the Lord, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Please, everyone, go to the Lord and pray to him today and ask him what this verse means to you and what he wants you to know. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for loving us so much. And we pray, Lord, that you'll help us to take these words that you have given to us to heart. Help us to pray. Help us not to be afraid. Help us not to fret. That doesn't belong to a Christian. That doesn't belong to a child of God, because you are all powerful and you love us and you would never do anything to harm us. So help us to be able to believe that and to take it to heart, Lord. I pray for each person today here, Lord, that they would experience you in a new way. Lord, that they would be able to take a deep breath and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you in this. I really don't know what to do, but I trust you. Please show me. And then to know that you will act upon it, Lord. You have promised it. We praise you. We give you glory. And we delight in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.